I am so very happy to talk to my world-traveling friend, who is just one of those free spirits that knows how to fly, how to travel, and how to enjoy life to the nth degree. Jennifer Cahill, how are you?
Oh, Cindy, it's such a pleasure to be back here. I'm actually, as we're speaking, overlooking the iconic bridge here in Lisbon, Portugal, that's modeled after the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge. So I couldn't be any happier.
I remember that one well. I was only in Portugal once, and it was when the boat cruise, I think Oceania is one of those. And of course, yes, that's that beautiful area along that whole waterfront. They were doing it over. When I was there, they were rebuilding that whole walkway and the whole waterfront. Has that been finished yet?
Yeah, it's incredible. They have a whole wharf area now. Portugal, Lisbon in particular, is so up and coming, and they've really commercialized it in some ways and still simultaneously kept the charm. One of the things I remember falling in love with when I first came to Lisbon in 2020 was that they keep the facades of the buildings intact. So even if they do wind up needing to do a teardown, they still keep the facade of these 100-plus, several hundred-year-old buildings.
Just think of that term you just said. Isn't that amazing? Keeping up the facade, right? Isn't that a great
term? I know. I love that. People don't even think that a facade is both something that you put forth to the world that's a sham, and it's also the cover of a building or the front of a building.
But there is that beauty and that charm. And I have to say, I mean, there's a lot of places in the world I've thought of going and maybe even living at, in Portugal and Ireland, on the west coast of Ireland, were the two that are in the top two if I ever retire. That's where I would go. Really, I mean, it's just, you know, there's something about it. And, you know, the interesting thing is they're saying, and you have said also that Portugal is a very reasonable place to live compared to, of course, Hawaii, compared to, of course, you were just here, so you know what it costs here. And so are you making that your base now? Are you going to be living there?
Yes, absolutely. That's why I went back to the United States for about 2 months, was to get what's called the D7 visa. At first, we were looking into doing what's called the Golden visa. However, there was such a huge push for that, where you put a few hundred thousand euros into a home here. And our attorneys advised us that it was more advantageous to do the D7 because they were so backed up on the Golden visas. Mm. So it was actually surprisingly easy, all things considered, to go through the visa process. I was very happy and grateful for the way it went.
I hadn't heard of the D7. I heard of the Golden visa. In fact, I think we've talked about that. But tell me about the D7. I never have heard of that before.
I think it's the equivalent, what it's called is the retirement visa. So you basically need the equivalent of, I think it's 20,000 euros in a Portuguese bank account, an FBI background check, as well as, a myriad of other typical things that you would need, an appointment with the Portuguese consulate office. And just to show, I mean, it is kind of unfortunate that here, you know, the average Portuguese citizen, at least in Lisbon, I think makes about 700 euros a month. Mm. And so you need to show that you have at least that in your bank account for the amount of duration of the D7, which is about 2 years, and I think you can apply for renewal. And so it's a relatively, it's a very welcoming place. Literally half of my friends are now planning on moving here because it's so easy and charming and wonderful to live here.
That's amazing. So I know you've lived in a few different places because the way you've been doing it is you've been staying there and then leaving and coming back, which you have to do. And you, in the midst of all this, you have been traveling around the world, which I want to talk to you about. But what area are you now based in Lisbon?
So there's a beautiful area in Lisbon called Lapa. And Lapa is kind of a little bit removed from the more touristy areas. So the most touristy areas, there are areas kind of over by Baixa or Chiado, which are very common areas. If it's your first time visiting Lisbon and you want to kind of be right in the heart of things, Chiado, for example, would be kind of the hub of where all the stores and restaurants, and then you get up to Barrio Alto, which is where a lot of the fun bars and restaurants and nightclubs are. So I wanted to be a little bit, having lived down Lisbon on and off for over a year, I wanted to be a little bit more quiet and peaceful and far removed. So I'm about, probably a 10-15 minute walk from Chiado, but it's just nice and quiet where I am.
How nice. Is it in the hills there?
Yeah, so it's just in the hills. It's a little bit down from Principe Real. Principe Real, I'm still working on my Portuguese. Falo un poco portuguese, so please forgive my accent on that. But yes, in where I'm at, it's just a little bit up the hill. In fact, it's where, unfortunately, when there was a horrible tsunami that hit Portugal, somewhere circa around the 1800, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, that took out a good portion of Lisbon. So a lot of the more wealthy people kind of moved up and away, up away from the flatter ground and up into the hills for safety. And that's the area that's now considered Lapa.
I remember that story. I do. And it was a story that we all should take heed of course, because they always say that we're overdue for a tsunami, a big tsunami here in Hawaii, but you never know. But yeah, that one was quite impactful, of course. Have you been over to Fatima yet? Have you had a chance to get over there? It's a few hours away.
No, I want to go to Fatima. In fact, my birthday is next week, and I'm considering popping over to Seville to be in Seville on my actual birthday. One of my dear friends, Maya. Yeah, have you been to Seville? I've always wanted to go there.
Oh, I love Seville. It's gorgeous. And yes, I was there, and I just felt so at home. And the churches and everything are just amazing with all the gold and everything. But no, Seville's a wonderful city.
Yeah, I think it's only about an hour flight from here. So I think I'm probably going to pop over to Seville in about, 5 or 6 days, and then maybe Paris again after that. Paris is my home away from home. So when I'm not in Portugal, I'm often in Paris.
You travel so much. I mean, you really have. So tell me, let's follow. I'm picturing one of those old maps where they have the plane jumping from place to place, and you follow Jennifer Cahill and her little airplane around the world. Where have you been in the 6 months? Let's cover your territory.
Oh, God, it's been such a whirlwind, Cindy. I'm going to have to rack my brain for that. So I came back to the U.S. Let's see. I'm going to have to go backwards. I just got back to Portugal 2 weeks ago. Then I was in LA for about a month. And as you know, I was in Hawaii for about, 9 days. Then right before Hawaii, I was in LA. Then before that, I was in San Francisco for about a week. Then I was in New York before that. Then Portugal. Then before that, I was back in Paris. Then before Paris, where was I? Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. It was amazing. I think that's around the last time we had spoken. I had been invited to the premiere of the 007 Never Die, whatever movie it was, Monaco, which was incredible. It was so much fun. So we were in Monte Carlo and then back to Paris again. And before that, I'd been a lot of time in Portugal and Bordeaux and Paris, and then the Maldives, of course, last year as well, which was amazing. So not that much travel.
Are you kidding? That's absolutely. And this was during the time when no one was traveling with COVID. I am blown away by that. My little plane that I had following you around couldn't keep up. It crashed trying to follow you around the world.
I know one of my friends is actually writing the script for the new Where in the World of Carmen Sandiego movie, and I always laugh because that's what my friends say, is I'm kind of akin to that Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. My friends are always trying to put a thumbtack on the map to figure out where in the world I am.
I don't know how to cover that all, but let's try a few highlights, okay? Number one, now, I know you were here, but you weren't on Maui. You were in Honolulu. I mean, you stayed at the, I've heard about the prices at the Four Seasons during the holiday season. You stayed at the Four Seasons. I haven't stayed over there in Honolulu. I stayed at the Four Seasons here, and I stayed once at the Four Seasons on Lanai. What's the Four Seasons in Honolulu like?
It was very peaceful. The one thing that surprised me, though, is that Disney hotel, the Iwana, I'm not sure how you say it, Iwani Hotel, was actually sharing the space and the property of it. So that was interesting that there was a shared beach space there. Uh-huh. The only bummer that I was kind of disappointed by is I was looking forward to snorkeling, and it was on me. I probably should have done better research. I didn't realize that there wasn't really good snorkeling over on that part of the island.
Uh-uh.
So the only thing that I kind of wish I would have had more of was the opportunity to snorkel, but the birds and the rainbows every day and going for the hikes around the property, it was just very peaceful and tranquil to be out there. And then, as I mentioned, I had started in Honolulu proper at what was called, I would highly recommend this hotel for any families or group couples, I think it was called the Aspen Austin Tower, Waikiki Beach.
Yes.
And I wanted to stay at a condo hotel at first because I was doing 48 hours of silence. I got a message in my meditation to spend, to kind of like welcome in the new year in silence. I wanted to be sure I could cook for myself and not have to worry about going out and ordering food. And I really had quite a lovely experience there. And it was amazing because that's where I was on New Year's Eve. And so despite being in silence, I woke up at midnight to, you know, wake up to the fireworks right in front of me and a cacophony of noise and people just celebrating and on the beach right below me. But it was very lovely. And I had the funniest thing happen, Cindy, I have to tell you. The first day I arrived at the Aspen Waikiki, I'm sitting there and I open the door to get a breeze in, and there's a living room and a bedroom. I'm in the bedroom and I hear this noise coming from the living room. And I'm on a call, and I'm like, what is that? And all of a sudden, there is a dove hanging out in my living room. It was just kind of meandering, walking around my living room. And then the dove kept coming back day after day. And so if I left the door open, the dove would just kind of wander in, say hello, how's it going, and then go out on its merry way. But it was just cracking me up that there was a dove that would walk straight into the apartment.
The exact same thing happened. I went over there because I was nominated for an Ohoku Hanahana Award. And I think I was at the Hilton or the one of the ones right on the beach there. And yes, a dove, I left my door open because I love trade winds. And yes, a dove came right in. I was meditating at the time, and literally the dove came in and just kind of walked around in front of me. I thought, oh, hello. You know, I'm a bird person too. And so, and yes, that it was amazing. We both had that same experience. But how wonderful that you decided to do that and have that Hawaiian energy for your silence. That I haven't done a day of silence in I don't know, years, I would have to say years. I mean, how was that? What was that like?
Oh, it was magical. It was just so deep. When we turn off, and I do silence personally, there are so many ways that we can do it. But I personally turn off my phone. I don't listen to any music. I journal. I might read a book. I might go for a long walk or reflect. And so what was most deep for me and meaningful was on New Year's Day, I leave the apartment and I go for a barefoot walk on the beach. And I got this message that in life, we often think that we make a choice. And that choice then, it basically cancels all of our other options. But what I heard that morning as I was walking barefoot on the beach in silence is that every time we make a choice, that choice then, instead of closing the door on options, opens the door for infinite new choices and possibilities. And I was just sharing that with a friend today who was really struggling about where she wants to live in the world. Mm. And she said, well, Jen, what if I go with this apartment in Florence I'm considering, and then I'm stuck with it? And I said, well, you could look at it that way, or you could look at it as when you choose the apartment in Florence, then there are also all of these other choices that are going to become possible because of that. So it's about, you know, kind of connecting to the infiniteness of all of our choices that we make. It doesn't, you know, basically stop us from having the opportunity to choose. It gives us infinite more possibilities of choice.
Well, which opens the door for me to choose to mention you've decided to go with all of the work and spiritual amazing people you've been able to interview. You are now working on healing as well, right?
Yeah, it's been incredible. We actually just did the global launch of our company, om-heals.com, and it was magical. I have to tell you, Cindy, what an experience. The universe gives us tests, and it's all about how we respond to them. So Thursday, before our global launch, where I'm hosting 12 hours of shows around the world, we're working with Deepak Chopra and Dr. Bradley Nelson and plant medicine experts and everybody around the world about healing from the inside out. It was this whole weekend around my new company and around bringing healing from the inside out to the world. Thursday morning, I test positive for COVID. So
no.
You almost just have to have like a little giggle with the universe. You're like, oh, you're so cute, universe. So it was perfect because it really gave me a chance to walk the walk. So I got a chance to go deep and spend 8 to 10 hours in prayer and meditation when I wasn't hosting shows at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., and 5 a.m. each day.
Wow. I can't even... Many people would have just said, I have to postpone. I mean, but what do you do when you have that much work into something as big as that? Did you have someone at least to stand by and help you get through all that, or were you doing it on your own, hosting and everything?
Oh, thank God, no. I had the most amazing team. I was collaborating with Scott Katamas and Teresa Collins. Teresa Collins puts on the Global Coherence Pulse the third Saturday of every month. And Scott does the Awakening World shows actually every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the last 2 years since COVID started. And I prayed about it. Honestly, I reflected and I went internal. I'm like, universe, okay, you gave me this gift of COVID and I have the global launch and 12 to 13 hours of shows, mind you, because of Lisbon time too, that we're starting at 2 a.m. my time.
Oh my.
And the universe said, you're meant to do it. And I had the best blessings. I had this one healer in Lisbon. I had so many wonderful healers, but the whole weekend was about healing. So what better company to keep than to be surrounded by some of the top world thought leaders on healing and energy thought leaders. And I had one healer actually gift me a session, and he used his quantum biofeedback machine, which he's doing from a distance for me. Mm-hmm. He does a session for me, and I went from feeling like on a scale of 1 to 10, like really ill, being like a 10, from like being at a 10 to a level 2 within the hour that he did the session. So I'm so grateful to have so many wonderful resources.
God, where do people find out about what you're doing with this?
People can go to om-heals.com, and there's two different ways that people can interact. People could go to the View All Practitioners list and sort through some of the practitioners we have from around the world, or they could also click the Get Matched button, and it's been such a privilege and honor to work with all of our advisors and leaders over the last year. We created an algorithm, Cindy, that matches people. So imagine if you've ever made a quick friend, or if you've ever fallen in love with someone or found a really amazing therapist, you know that there's something required for that level of intimacy. And so we've been able to scientifically, mathematically put that into a formula so that within 3 to 5% variability, we can match you with the perfect healer for you and for your energy. Because if I was to match you with somebody with 10% variability, you're going to hate each other and you won't know why, and you won't be able to receive the healing.
That's very interesting. So speaking of you again and your amazing life, many people, if you're just tuning in, I'm talking to an amazing woman, Jennifer Cahill. Actually travels more than anyone I know, and even in this crazy last year of COVID, still traveling and living and basing now in the beautiful city of Lisbon. But so many places in between. I know it was kind of interesting in Paris. You went to Paris and down south, and you were in Monaco. You were also in the Bordeaux area. What was that like? Was that in September or August you were there?
Gosh, I go to Paris just about every month or every other month. So I'm in Paris quite frequently. In fact, I'll be back in Paris in about 2 weeks. And I would say I was in Monaco the last week of September, and I was in Bordeaux the last week of June. And, you know, it's been interesting traveling in all of these places during this time, because there have been surprisingly more people traveling than you would imagine. Even when I was in New York, the first week of December, and I was shocked at the volume of people over by Rockefeller Square where the tree was being lit the weekend I was out there. And there were thousands, tens of thousands of people. And so it has been surprising to see how many people are actually traveling right now, despite all things Omicron and COVID related.
Absolutely amazing. Now, are you with someone at this point? Are you married, or are you engaged, or what?
Yes. My husband and I got married to talk about blessings in September of last year. And
congratulations.
We had 70 friends and family from around the world.
Oh,
who
gosh.
All were able to fly in, and we did 4 nights of parties, and thank God everybody was healthy the whole time. We were all testing regularly, and we were very, very blessed that everybody was okay throughout all of the festivities and afterwards.
Oh, congratulations. How wonderful is that? Now people are wondering, how in the world does she do this all? I'm sure people ask you all the time, I want to be you. How do you do this, Jennifer? How are you able to travel and do all the things you want to do? Tell us the secret.
You know, it's working with the divine energy of the universe. Oh my gosh, how much time do we have, Cindy? There's a beautiful story that I can give you a quick synopsis of that basically summarizes all of it. Can I share it?
Please.
So just yesterday, I spend a lot of my time in prayer and meditation, probably anywhere from 2 to 3 hours a day, just doing different spiritual work. Because honestly, if you put in even 10 minutes or 20 minutes a day or 5 minutes a day, if you've never done it, that's what makes the difference, is to tap into kind of that divine essence of all of us and work with the flow of the universe. So just yesterday morning, I opened up a book that I like to use called the 72 Names of God book from Kabbalah, and I asked for wisdom. And so I say, universe, give me some wisdom. I open the book, and my finger lands on a page about a book called The Secret by Michael Berg. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm meant to read this book. Now, keep in mind, there's only like three pages in the book that are not something else. And so I open the book to the story about the skinny cow. And so the story goes that there is this man, Yosef, and his wife, Rebecca, and they're living in Eastern Europe a few hundred years ago. And they have nothing. They're barely surviving on their skinny cow that gives them meager wages and just enough milk and cheese to survive. And one day, this famous Kabbalist named the Baal Shem Tov, the master of all masters, comes knocking at their door and says, hello, you know, my students and I, he has several students who are standing behind him respectfully, are hungry and we've just come off of a long journey of traveling. Can you please provide us with a special evening meal? And of course, the man Yosef is like, please, sir, of course, your master, yes, a great master. We are more than happy and honored to have you here. And so he goes to talk to his wife in the corner, and she says, well, Yosef, we can't possibly provide them dinner. They want the finest meats and foods and vegetables and wine. We don't have any of that. And he says, well, you know, my love, the only thing I can think of to do is sell the cow. I'll be off right now and do it. So before his wife can argue, he rushes off and he sells the only belonging they have, which is the skinny cow. And with that, he's able to provide the most sumptuous meal for his guests. And the strangest thing happens, though. The Baal Shem Tov keeps eating and eating, and even the students are astounded. And he's eating this poor couple out of house and home, quite literally. So as he finishes the meal, the Baal Shem Tov licks his fingers and says, well, thank you, my kind friends. That was delicious, and we shall now be on our way as we have our full bellies. And so he leaves, and now Rebecca goes to her husband, and she says, Yosef, we're stranded. We have no money. We have nothing. We're not going to survive this. What are we going to do? And, you know, he wants to provide for his wife, so he is bereft and goes for a walk in the cold forest and starts meandering, and he falls to his knees at one point, and without knowing what he's doing, he asks for all the things he's ever wanted but never thought he could have, all the things he wanted not just for himself but for his poor wife, who has suffered and been by his side this whole time. He says, universe, God, please give me all these things that I've never had. Give me wealth beyond my wildest dreams, joy, fulfillment, and so on and so forth. And just as this is happening, he hears some rustling in the bushes, and a drunkard stumbles to the bushes, but kind of well-dressed. And he says, sir, may I help you? And he says, ha, yes, actually you can. You know, he says, it's nice to finally meet a friendly fellow on my travels. You see, I have a sad story to share, and I'm glad I'm not going to die in the forest alone. And he says, oh, sir, you're not going to die. You've had a little to drink, but you're not going to die. And the man falls beside him and says, no, you don't understand. I'm about to die, and my family are like vultures. They are waiting for me to die to pounce upon my wealth. Ha ha, but little do they know I've buried it right here in the forest. And the man looks at him, Yosef looks at him and says, oh, sir, please let me get you into the warm. You don't know what you're talking about. And the man says, you know, you are the first person to show me kindness in many years, and I have a gift for you. Let me show it. And then as he says that, he falls dead at his side. And Yosef is beside himself. Here is this dead man, but he sees the man was about to hand up a paper. And on that paper, Cindy, was a map of buried treasure, and he followed the map, and there was more treasure than he could have ever imagined. So fast forward 5 years, the Baal Shem Tov and his students are walking along the road that they often tread, and they see this fine golden carriage passing before them, and as they see it go by, they do a double take, and their teacher, master, wasn't that the man who couldn't afford to give us dinner 5 years ago? And his wife, they look so happy and joy-filled, and they seem to be wealthy as well. What's their secret? And the Baal Shem Tov gives a knowing, happy smile, and he says, you see, Yosef would have been content to spend the rest of his life basically starving to death and getting by with his meager, scrawny cow. And so I did the only thing that I could do to help him, which was to take away the thing that was preventing him from having lasting happiness, fulfillment, and wealth, which was that scrawny cow. And the moral of the story is not about just physical abundance, but it's about joy and how much we don't ever ask the universe for what we really want. We don't ask for our dreams to travel the world, to find our soulmate, to be able to live to our heart's greatest content, because we're so captivated by our scrawny cow, whatever that's metaphor for in your life. And the moment we let it go, that's when we can receive all the abundance and wonder in our dreams coming true.
I love that story, and you tell it so well, my friend. Oh, that is such a blessing. Thank you for that beautiful, beautiful story. I love it. You know, I just think it's wonderful how you have embodied this with your wonderful travels everywhere and with the good and the service you do in your desire to help people. You give so much to so many people. And I really, if people follow you, if they even just go to your Facebook site, my gosh, you post such amazing, inspiring pictures alone, which are a gift. I love seeing what in the world and where in the world is Jennifer K. Hill today and what's she up to. It's truly a gift to be able to talk to you and share with you and the world your beautiful, wonderful energy and how you travel in style and enjoy life and share good things at the same time. So you're really a hero, and I appreciate you, and I hope to see you in Lisbon. I really do. I want to. In fact, I'm going to see you in Lisbon or wherever you are sometime soon. We'll meet up. You know, we've never met. So,
I know. It's amazing. Well, I think there was a great quote from that book that said the only way to achieve true joy and fulfillment is by becoming a being of sharing. And I think you are definitely a being of sharing too, Cindy. So I can't wait to give you a hug and share a cup of tea or a cappuccino or a glass of wine somewhere in the world together one of these days.
I hold that in the light. much love to you, my friend. I do appreciate you taking the time to call in all the way from Portugal and giving us your story. It's so inspiring always. God bless you and happy trails.
You too, my friend. Much love. Take care.
Okay, aloha.